presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sowell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the programme that is to comedy what the falling horse chestnut leaf is to the Intercity 125. This week we're in the Paris studio in London, and when I say we, I'm sadly not referring to Tim Brooke Taylor, who's unfortunately been misdirected to the London studio in Paris. Instead, please welcome back on my right Paul Merton. And with him, Willie Rushton. And on my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cry. Unfortunately, the lovely Samantha, our long-time scorer, can't be with us today as she's been accidentally signed up for Nottingham Forest. Anyway, so will you welcome instead, by popular demand, the delightful Sven. We'll start off, teams, with a round entitled Celebrity Misquotes. In this round, I'd like you please to come up with some remarks that famous people, alive or dead, would never have said. Graham, would you start, please?
Madonna. Hang on a minute, I'm just getting dressed.
Paul.
Cliff Richard. What do you mean you're pregnant?
You'd never have heard Long John Silver saying, I'll take the pear.
Willie.
This could be attributed to any member of the present cabinet. Now, this is a resignation issue.
You'd never hear Melvin Bragg say, tunes. Van Gogh, I want a Walkman for Christmas.
Oliver Reed, I'll just have the half, I think.
The Duke of Wellington at Waterloo stuffed this brigade of soldiers.
Ken Russell, sorry, love, that's a bit over the top. Eve to Adam, is there someone else? Ian Paisley, can you hear me at the back?
Any more?
Moses, oh, they're free, I'll take 10.
I think it could do with a rewrite, Jeffrey Archer.
Right, we'll carry on now like greyhounds unleashed into the next round. Shakespeare once wrote, the man that hath not music in himself is fit for treasons, stratagems, and spoils. On the plus side, however, such a man is ideally placed to get the most out of 20 party greats by black lace, and more than qualified to take part in our next round. It's called The Singer and the Song. In it, teams, I shall give you each a song which I'd like you to sing in the style of a famous personality. You'll be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell, who will be assuming the identity of Vladimir Ashkenazi. Should be almost impossible to tell them apart. Graham, your song is Raining in My Heart in the style of Ian McCaskill, please.
Hello. The sun is out. The sky is blue. There's not a cloud to spoil the view, but it's raining. Raining in my heart and parts of East Anglia. The weatherman, says clear today. He doesn't know you've gone away. And it's raining. Yes, it's raining in my heart, but clearing northwards by tomorrow. Oh, misery. Misery. That depression moving east. What's going to become of me? Hello. tears. They mustn't show. But soon these tears are bound to flow, because it's raining. Yes, it's raining in my heart, turning to sleet on high ground. Bye-bye.
Okay, Paul, here's one right up your street. Gilly Gilly, Austin Pfeffer, Katzenel and Bogan by the Sea, as Elvis Presley.
Right.
The silence, the silence. The attention, my attention. Well, I'll be less. Well, I'll be less than
I'm sorry.
I thought that was very good. I began to think he really is alive, after all.
No, that's the way he sounds now, I think.
Barry, here's your song. Send in the clowns, in the style of Jack Woolley from the Archers.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair, Caroline? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Are you sure this is the Kama Sutra? Send in the clowns. Not now, Jean-Paul. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? Don't look at me like that, Caroline. One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Oh, that Peggy and Con, there's been a lot of talk. Where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. I ordered them 3 weeks ago. It's not good enough for him.
Right, and Willie, your song is Run Rabbit Run in the style of Michael Heseltine.
Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. I wish I was Minister of Fun and Fun and Fun. You don't get laid if you're in the Board of Trade. So run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, 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 run.
Well, judging from the applause from the audience, the scores are that you've all done extremely well on that one, and we go on to a round called Children's Classics. It's been widely noted nowadays that children are finding it increasingly hard to interest themselves in the classics of English literature. Main complaints are that such works are either too long or that young people today simply can't identify with the characters. With this in mind, I'd like you teams to provide us with some children-friendly versions of certain literary classics. Going to start with you, Barry and Graham. You'll start with a classic in the horror series, Dracula.
Great. Where shall we go for our holidays? Jonathan Harker said to his friend Lucy. I know, Transylvania. So off they went.
They've been walking for hours and hours and... I am tired, said Lucy. Let's stop somewhere for the night. So she knocked on the door of this great big castle.
Yes, and the castle belonged to Count Dracula. Well, in the night he came up to Lucy's room. I've brought you some cocoa, he said, as he bent over the bed.
Next morning... Jonathan said, look at those marks on your neck, Lucy. I think you ought to go and see the doctor.
So, next day, bright and early, she went to see nice Dr. Van Helsing. What big teeth you've got, he said. And he gave her a steak and garlic.
Well, after she was buried, Lucy just wouldn't leave Jonathan alone. And the moral of this story is, look after your teeth, children,
and your sex life will take care of itself.
OK, your turn, Paul and Willie. Your classic is Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Once upon a time, round about 1916, Lord Chatterley had his manhood shot off at the front. That's where it is.
When Lord Chatterley returned home, he tried and tried, but nothing happened. And Lady Chatterley became very, very sad.
She tried to kill herself by throwing herself under the Queen Mother.
Then one day, she was walking through the woods when she came across Mellors, the goalkeeper. In his Chelsea strip. And with a lot of chickens.
"Wah," said Mellors, the goalkeeper. "You be so lovely, Lady Chatterley, I am going to give you one." And he gave her a chicken.
One day, Lady Chatterley was quietly toe-sucking. This little piggy went to Maastricht. When Mellors came in and said, "Why are you sucking your own toes?"
"I'm a lonely woman," she said. "You're always out, keeping goal. I'm going to go and live in a shoe with Bill Wyman."
And so Mellors went off and sold his Kiss and Tell memoirs to the News of the World and lived happily ever after. Yes.
That was fun. Now then, it's time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. During this series, we've already received a number of inquiries from listeners complaining that they're unable to follow the rules of the game. Apparently, they didn't play it as children like the rest of us. So, for the sole benefit of these people and at the risk of alienating the many listeners likely to feel patronized by such an exercise, I shall ask the teams to play a round during which they'll explain each move they make as they make it. So, if you've got a pen and paper handy, this is your chance to make notes. Willie, will you start us off, please?
Well, I learnt this game on Grandfather's knee, and he always... He had a little poem, which was all nice. He said, "You're never far from Mornington Crescent if you head out west from Mount Pleasant." So that's what I shall do and start.
I think he's won, hasn't he? Let's do another one. Yes. Willie, carry on. Right.
Rosebery Avenue, for obvious reasons.
Where Avenue?
Rosebery.
Rosebery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, if we double that on the diagonal, and it's not bank holiday rules, is it? So there's a choice there of Rickmansworth or... Rickmansworth. Yeah.
Rickmansworth.
There are no oars in Rickmansworth.
No. Well, bearing in mind
just
early...
One, and she's probably dead now.
Hasn't stopped her working.
You wouldn't go.
Carry on, Paul.
Well, bearing in mind early closing, it would have to be Melrose Mews.
That seems very fair to me.
Mews is always a blocking one, isn't it? Mews, you... Yeah. If you go back to... No, if you go back to...
It's only a block, Barry.
Yes, I know what I'm explaining, what I'm doing. That's what I was asked to do.
Make a bit of a meal out of it. I mean, everybody
gets blocked.
I'm only
doing what we were asked to do. I'm trying to help the listeners. I mean, if you're going to get tetchy,
never do anything.
Order.
What?
Order. What will people listening at home make of this?
Nice jumper or something like that.
Carry on, Barry.
All right, Rosebery Avenue, two back, Shaftesbury Avenue. Because I'm doing a parallel without repeating it.
I hate defensive players, though.
I've always been more on the attack. Yeah. An attack is when you go east, east, east.
Yeah. That's the
thing. East. Yeah. So, Whitechapel Road.
Oh, lovely.
The charge at Teddy Roosevelt at San Juan Hill.
Yeah. Aldwych.
Well, after San Juan Hill.
A bit strong.
Can you explain that, Graham?
I'm an instinctive player, Hump.
Okay, fair enough. Paul, carry on.
Well, no, I'm going to double back and go up on the pavement here because I think Winslow Court.
Quite right. Single yellows.
Yeah.
Winslow Court. There again. This is double blocking. We've had Muse and Court. So I will. I'm allowed one more avenue. So I will do.
Well, try a bit of instinct.
Northumberland Avenue.
Morning to you, Chris.
Spirit message.
Ah! And you reach that how?
Well, it's doomed from the start.
Of all the avenues to pick.
If we can have that whole game slow motion replay. You'll see them walking into an ambush right from the very start. It was very funny, that.
Paul. Right, sir, I don't want any more letters or inquiries about that. Our next round, this is called PC Titles. It takes account of the current emphasis on political correctness, which has ensured we think twice before describing someone as bald, fat, short, or stupid. With this in mind, teams, I'd like you please to suggest some examples of well-known book, film, play, or television program titles that you feel might benefit from suitable alterations along these lines. Paul, let's start with you.
The good, the bad, and the facially challenged.
You have to have a care, even with authors' names now, never mind books. It would have to be the Barchester Chronicles by Anthony Free Market Operator.
Willie.
The dorsally exaggerated, vertically and horizontally challenged person of, but not necessarily mutually exclusive to, yet possibly in all likelihood pertaining to, Notre Dame. Barons.
Graham.
The differently clean dozen.
Honey, I shrunk the kids. Cohabitee, I've size wise altered our mutual offspring.
The old nursery rhyme, girls and boys declare your sexual orientation to play.
Poor cow. It's Margaret Thatcher.
Any more? Okay, well, we've got to go
same
on.
Same gender-oriented, the magic dragon.
Okay, we're going to go on for a round which is entitled Unhelpful Tour Guides. With its clean beaches, impregnable old castles, eh? And reliable transport system, Britain holds many attractions for the first-time visitor to these shores. Teams, I'd like you please to act as tour guides around a particular item of British heritage to an assorted group of inexperienced foreign tourists. Start off, Paul and Willie.
Oh, Stonehenge. People visiting Stonehenge, they'll admire your knowledge if you stand in the middle of Stonehenge and shout out very loudly and knowledgeably, of course, this was a cinema until the roof fell in.
And impress the locals with your attempts to start the domino effect by pushing the first stone over.
You can always refute any allegation that the place will actually shortly be restored to its previous glory at the taxpayer's expense.
During the annual winter solstice celebrations, why not join in on the traditional urinating against a policeman's leg?
While dressed as a druid.
Yes.
That's enough advice about Stonehenge for tourists.
Barry and Graham, your landmark is Christie's.
The auction house.
Thank you.
We've just supposed to change things in place, is it?
Just a bit of helpful advice, Humph. Helpful advice. Bring your own gavel.
It's an old English tradition to tickle the man holding the ming.
It's considered polite to catch the auctioneer's eye and give him a friendly nod or a wink.
You'll see paintings leaning against the wall. Please take one.
The best way to appreciate a Fabergé egg is to boil it for 6 minutes and then crack it open with a spoon. Visitors are invited to add witty captions to the Leonardo cartoons.
The end is
the end. Okay.
We'll go on to a round now, which is called Just a Minute, based, of course, on the anarchic Radio 4 programme Today in Parliament. One team member should attempt to sing a song without repetition, deviation, hesitation, or repetition. A member of the opposing team may buzz to challenge, and if I uphold the challenger takes over. Lest it all appear too easy, teams, you're not permitted to repeat any words included in the title of a song. And I'll tell you now that you'll have to sing at the same time as Colin Sell is playing the piano. Challenge there from Graham.
I was just challenging to remind Paul that we can challenge in this round, right?
I'm sure he's very grateful. Paul?
I just acknowledge that.
Okay.
I was just rather enjoying the new noise.
I'm not going to be left out.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry, that wasn't the buzz at that time. Nervous.
Don't you love being in control? Right, the song is What Should We Do With a Drunken Sailor? Paul, will you start, please?
I'm going to bluff my way through this.
I would.
What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor? Early in the morning.
What is it now?
A challenge there from Barry, Graham, Willie and 10 members of the audience.
I didn't challenge, I thought it was the after show party, actually.
Yeah, there was a bit of repetition in there.
If you look for
it. Challenge from Graham.
Deviation by the sound of it.
Okay, Graham, you can take up the song.
Where are we going from, Col?
Hooray, and up she rises.
Thank you.
Hooray, and up she rises. Yippee, and away she goes upwards. Huzzah! And lofting skywards. Her track she makes early in the morning. Put him in a leaky boat and make him bail her. That's a new one on me. Shove him in.
It's Norman Baylor, the well-known author with the head cold.
Shove him in a sieve-like vessel and force him to pour the water out with a bucket. Encase him in a colander-like a boat, really. And force him to empty the water with another not-quite-so-bucket-shaped object. Shortly before
challenge
lunch.
From Paul.
Oh, was there a slight hesitation there?
So I've penalised Graham for hesitating and you for hesitating and pressing the buzzer. He goes on to Barry now.
Whoopee, in the air the vessel elevates. Ole, the opposite of down. The boat ascends at sparrow's fart.
What? Challenge from Willie.
A rude word. We've never had a rude word.
What are the rules about rude
sparrow
words?
Sparrow is perfectly acceptable. Thinking of tit.
Most of the time, yes. You have to forgive an old man.
Right, Willie, you can take the song up.
Whoopee!
Challenge from Graham.
Another rude word from Humph.
What was that?
Willie.
Carry on, Rushton.
I should tell you what Graham means in our house. Usually when Anne Diamond's on...
What?
It's early in the morning. Her career is ended before I got up.
I think I'm going to give that one to Willie, though. Well, it's almost time we went home, but not quite. There's just time, I noticed, for a quick game of Farmers Film Club. For this round, teams, I'd like you please to suggest some films likely to be popular with an audience of farmers.
Well, an audience who's got farmers through sitting through long films.
There's one. Bring me the head of John Selwyn Gummer.
My left foot and mouth.
The sheep that died of shame.
In a double bill with Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dream Goat.
Fatal Attractor.
The Texas Combine Harvester Massacre.
An officer and a gentle hen. Or the one about the farmer who's paranoid that his herd of cows are taunting him behind his back to kill a mocking herd.
Beef Encounter.
Jagged Hedge.
Gat on a hot tin roof.
Or the dairy of a madman. Barring Haley Milk, Lol Cream, and Whoopi Goldtop.
Ambridge Too Far.
Gerard Depardieu in Green Cud.
But reluctant as I am, teams.
Strictly Barn Dance.
Silage of the Lambs. Oh, the compost man always rings twice.
Teams, I'm afraid
and
that really
there's,
is.
There's my beautiful turkey burgerette.
That really is.
Fur Heifer Amber.
That really is all for this week, so until next time, from the team, Sven and myself, goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Paul Merton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sowell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.